Seekers Lyon.
Yeah, my name's Leon, I'm an addict. I really feel like I need to swear just to kind of break the ice, but I'm not going to, it's recording and that. Yeah, I'll just start with, I'm eternally grateful to be in this meeting and sharing tonight, that's the honest truth. There's a lot of people in this meeting that's kind of supported me and helped me for over the last past year and the time before that when I was around for 9 months in relapse, so thanks to everyone that's in the room today. Just to break the ice a bit, I'll start off with like my last chair that I'd done. I was in a meeting in Abbeville Road in Southwest London, and I'm kind of lactose intolerant and that, and I drank a cup of tea just before the meeting, and I can remember there's a few people that's in the meeting now that was in that meeting, and after I drank that tea and the readings was going on, I could just feel my belly going, and I thought, fuck, I need to go to the toilet. But in that meeting, the toilet so close to the room, I thought, if I go to the toilet now, I'm not going to be able to hide the sounds of the noise I'm going to make in there. So I was thinking, what am I going to do? So for that whole meeting, I was just tense. Bum cheeks, cleansed, everything. Yeah. There's a few girls laughing there. They probably can remember because they was in that meeting. And damn, man. I'm telling you. Thanks for Mickey Foyer for asking me to do the chair tonight, because it's him that's got me in this mad position right now. I can remember he texted me, I think it was a couple of nights ago, and he asked me, he phoned me, and he goes, Leon, do you want to do it? Now, actually, what happened was, I texted him, as I usually text him, kind of on a daily basis, because he's supporting me well over my recovery and that, so I've texted him and told him I'm a year clean, and he's phoned me back straight away, yeah, Leon, do you want to do the chair? I thought, flipping hell, why did I tell him that? And I did decline, to be honest with you. At first I declined and said, Mick, you know what? I'm grateful, but no, I'll leave it. And he asked, that's the second time he asked me to do the chair when I was, I think, 8 months, 9 months clean and that. And I declined then. But I thought to myself, do you know what? So I texted him back and said, you know what, Mick, I'll do the chair. And he texted me back and what did he say to me now? Something about 45 minutes. What chair do you want to do? The 45 minutes or the 15 minute chair? I said, are you crazy, brother? Come on, man. Like, obviously the 15 minute chair. And yeah, man, I feel sorry for the ladies doing the 45 minute chair tonight, I tell you. I'll tell you a bit about my background and that's the honest truth. I grew up in an area called Hackney, East London. I usually say in chairs that I kind of had a good upbringing and that, and there was no like funny things going on. But the truth of the matter is, I got an older brother. His name's Michael. He's about 34 years of age, and he was using crack at the time. And it wasn't easy for me growing up, really, to be honest with you, because I kind of knew what crack was about and that, and the things that kind of surrounded it. And yeah, that was kind of hard for me to kind of get my head around that my older brother's using drugs and that, because he's someone I looked up to, because my father was never bad then, and yeah, I really looked up to him, and it was hard for me to kind of get my head around that. Family life, my mum, I got one mum, she looked after me to the best of her ability and that, but it's like, it's hard, isn't it? It's not really about, for me, in recovery, it's not really about, like, what made me an addict. Do you get what I'm saying? It's really about what I need to do about myself now, and I know the solution is kind of in the meetings and that, and for me to kind of do my best of my ability to kind of get stuck in with this stuff and just to keep myself clean, and I know what I need to do on a daily basis to do that now, thanks to you guys and that. A bit about my using. I'm not really going to go into no war stories and that, because we've all heard it before. And the truth of the matter is, when I first come around and people were talking about prison and that, I thought, yeah, I really want to hear that. It was really appealing to me, and I've heard some mad chairs over the time, people talking about guns and things like that, but as I've grown up in recovery and that stuff is not really appealing to me. And the truth of the matter is, yeah, it's not really about me coming here, yeah, and talking about too much of that stuff that I used to do and that, and because at the same time, I know I can do chairs, which kind of, I want to do a chair tonight that I can kind of go away and feel happy and feel kind of proud about. Not a chair that is kind of making me feel depressed and all the stuff that I've been through and that. But as I told you, I grew up in a state in Hackney, Pembrey Estate, and that. And the honest truth of it is, all of my using was kind of done on the staircase. That's the truth of the matter. I used on staircases, I slept on staircases, I've eaten on staircases. If I was to get a date out there, I would take the girl back to a staircase. That's my type of using, do you get what I'm saying? And everything was done on the staircase for me. I'll tell you that how I met Mickey Foy, to be honest with you, that was on the staircase. I can remember one night, yeah. I don't know if it was night or daytime, to be honest with you, but it's a state called Dollington Estates in South West. It's kind of the rivest estate in South West, according to me, I think it is anyway. And I think that it was a Sunday, and I've just stung someone outside outside the block and that. And that was another thing that I used to do, stinging people, like slow down, dirty drug user, innit? Sting was really part of my game and that. Quickest way of making money without kind of getting nicked for it. So I've stung this guy, but that day I've stung the wrong guy. I really have, like, build-wise, he's probably as slim as me, do you get what I'm saying? Obviously, picking on vulnerable people, that's the easiest way to go about it, using. So I've stung this guy now, and he's grabbed hold of me. I think he asked me for a bag of weed, so I've took the £20 off him and told him to wait on the staircase, and I've tried to run through a few doors and whatnot, and this guy's grabbed me, he's ripped off half of my top and that, and it's raining outside and whatnot, and I think I've run up to the, I don't know what floor it was, and I think Mickey was there on the other side of the door, because he's got to get buzzed through, and I banged on the door, let me in, and him, obviously, he's been in recovery, he's calm about it, I couldn't see no kind of nerve-wracking sign in his face or nothing. Nah, knowing obviously he's been in recovery long, like he's used to that, it's probably happened to him a million times, so he's let me through and that. And funny thing about it, when I got clean after that and I come to Trafalgar Square meeting, I've seen him and he goes, can you remember me? And I goes, nah, I can't remember you. He goes, yeah, he's on my staircase huffing and puffing and ranting to let me through the door and that. And but you know what that kind of shows me? Yeah? That shows me, do you get what I'm saying? Like, the love that's in these rooms, do you get what I'm saying? There was no animosity or anything about him. He was the first person that kind of gave me a hug when I come to the door that day and said, you know what, welcome. And it's that's the love I get from these rooms. And it's a big thing for me to kind of be involved in this stuff. And that, yeah, I can remember another time I was outside. I think I was in Hackney these times, and I had my raps made up, my stinging raps, them times there. And I was selling drugs at the time, actually, but to be honest with you, I was still stinging people. It was like I was addicted to stinging, something in it. I was just stinging people. And I can remember this Irish woman, she's come in the car, and she's asked me for some gear and that. I've got real gear on me and that, but I thought, nah, I just need to make a bit of a profit tonight. So I've given her the stings, and she hasn't given me the money. But the mad thing, this shows me the mad thing about my insanity. I was ranting and raving, chasing the car down, and it's not even real drugs I've given the woman. That's the thing. So that kind of shows me the insanity was when I was using it. It's just crazy, things like that I used to do. I just wasn't really in control of myself and the things I was doing at the time and that. And that really kind of sums up my using. My using was just, it was just crazy. It was really crazy, my using, to be honest with you. And yeah, I've done, like I say, innit, I've done, just so people can kind of relate and that, I've done a lot of time in jail and that, and a lot of times in jail was kind of hard. I'll tell you about a few consequences, because I think it's more important to tell you about my consequences than actually, like, kind of trying to glorify the drugs and things like that. In prison, consequences from prison, back in 2007... I was in jail and I didn't really know nothing about recovery these times. So I'm in jail, it's just another sentence and that. And a guy that used to come to my family house, actually, he's one of my brother's friends. He's a kind of a big drug dealer and that. And I can remember, like, his cellmate was selling gear on the wing and that. And at that time, I still kind of had a bit of pride in that. And people really never knew I used to smoke and that, so I've asked the guy, like, can he take me some gear and that, and he's kind of said no, and I've kind of gone to my cellmate and said, oh, this guy, I'm going to end up robbing him. And the words got back out that I said that, and basically, like, this guy called Mark, he's called me into the cell, and I'm thinking, all right, I know this guy. I know this guy. He's come to my mum's house eating at the dinner table, things like that. So he's called me in the cell. I've gone in the cell, and they've shut the door on me, and this guy, Mark, is a big guy, takes steroids and things like that. And I can remember I got hit over the head with a can of tuna and that. And basically what happened, he ended up rushing me in the cell with the other guy, and he's jumping on my face and that a lot of times and that. My jaw got broken in 3 places and that. And I can say probably that was one of the most scariest experiences of my life, because I knew I couldn't get out of the cell. And this guy, there's no way I could have fought him one-on-one. Even with a tool, I couldn't have fought this guy. But yeah, man, all these things was happening to me, and that kind of never really prevented me from using. Another thing, I quickly cut to the chase because it's 5 minutes and that. When my little son Andre was born in the hospital, I promised to myself, you know what, this is enough. Because I remember using, I was sleeping in the toilets then, and I can remember another thing, I was sleeping in the toilets and I had food there. I had my food. It was like a little house in there. I was in that hotel then. It was like a hotel at that time. I was in there for about 2 weeks while my baby mother was ready to give birth and that. And I can remember what happened one night, yeah. So I've got ready for bed as you do, washed up, like, brushed my teeth in the sink and whatnot. Because I had everything there. It was like a plan. I was staying there because I was on the run at the time and I didn't want to leave the hospital. And I just wanted to see my son being born no matter what. And I can remember I lit up a cigarette in there and what happened? The alarm went off. So security's coming. You see my pillow there, duvet, food, everything. Just shocked, thinking, what's this guy doing? It's a little house he's got there. But yeah. But that is the thing, like, I really promised to myself I want to stop using, but I still couldn't stop using, and that kind of showed me where my addiction really took me to, and I just couldn't stop using. Kind of cut to the chase. I got clean in 2011, I think it was, and I heard a message in a detox, someone coming and gave the message, and I got clean from then, and basically I wasn't working the steps. I never had a sponsor. I thought I was too big to have a sponsor. I can do things my own way. And I ended up relapsing again. And my mate sitting there, David, I can remember being in court and him coming to support me at the court that day. And always thanking for that as well. And this time coming back round, basically I've got stuck in. I really have got stuck in. I've got on with the steps. I'm on step 3 right now. I think I could have done more than that at this time, but what I've got to know about recovery as well, it's a program. Everyone works their program differently in recovery, and I've worked my program my way to the best of my ability. I try and share at every meeting. I try and reach out to newcomers as much as possible, and all these things I'm saying, I know I can do it. I could do more than I'm doing right now, but that's what I think. Another joy in recovery is basically I'm here, I'm clean, I've got the ability to try and do better. And these guys like Mickey Foy, I hold a lot of respect for him. There's a lot of other people in this room, Ali as well, to get, I'm saying, people that have really helped me since I've come. And I try and stay humble in recovery and just kind of listen to what these guys are saying. And not even listen, it's action. That's what it's about, action. These people have shown me love. Do you get what I'm saying? They've really shown me love. Things like money. Now, I remember Mickey Foy topping up my phone for me one day when I was struggling. And he goes, you know what, I'm going to send you a £10 voucher to kind of phone people and get support. I probably phoned a couple of girls on that tenor as well. Do you know what? Like, do you get what I'm saying? It's the action he did. Ali as well, being in the detox. Ali used to bring me a packet of burn. I remember when I wasn't getting my gyro, I was in that detox for over 12 weeks. I never had no money, not once. And Ali used to bring me burn. I remember giving me a £20 note, things like that that people do. And the funniest thing, all the time I was out there, all these people that I used to think was my friends outside on the streets, it's a shame. That's what kind of gets me emotional today, because I was really trapped in that lifestyle thinking, do you know what, people around me acting flash, and it's a load of bollocks, to be honest with you. I've never got as much love as from people in these rooms. Some people in these rooms show me more love than people in my family. And I'll end it with something a guy said to me. I was bragging again about my year clean, as you do, because I'm excited that I'm a year clean. And I spoke to one guy that's in my supporting housing. He's nothing to do with recovering that. And I told him that I was a year clean, and he was like, he speaks Polish and that. And he was like, what? Clean, like, wash clean, shower. I'm like, no, not shower clean, clean. Like, I've been clean for a year inside. And he goes, well, it's not about body clean, it's about cleanness of the mind. And you know what I thought, do you get what I'm saying? Great, that is great. What he's saying is true. And do you know what this stuff does for me? This stuff, even though I'm a year clean physically, this stuff helps me to keep my mind clean. And that's the most important thing that I'm getting from recovering, because I've got a lot of behaviours that can take me back to using. But as long as I keep coming there and checking with you guys, I'm cleansing my mind, and I'll leave it there.
Thank you.